get some good stuff today for you to take home and think about all next week and how we can love our Lord more by loving each other more. Our Father in heaven, thank you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time of service. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able to come together to once more remember you and to worship you and lift you up high and holy above every name. And Lord, above everything today, we want to thank you for loving us. Just loving us for no reason. And we praise you for everything you're going to do here in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably that last part of that verse that I read, the three words at a time, is probably one of the most profound statements that you'll find in the Bible. And we tend to just read through it and not take it three words at a time and break it down and think about it three words at a time. But it is a very profound statement, but it is so simply put. When you look at it, there's not any big words. That's why it's good for me. Thank you. Because he says, as he is, so are we in this world. That's not hard to understand, is it? Well, the whole of it may be a little hard for you to understand, but I'm going to break it down here in a minute, and we're going to get there, and we're going to see what he has for us. You see, when you understand the truth of this statement, it becomes one of the most beautiful things in your personal life. I'll tell you why in just a minute, because I know you're dying to know why. Your ears are perking already. It's a very beautiful statement when you understand the truth of it. It introduces probably the biggest questions of your life, and it answers the questions at the same time. How do you like that? I like it when somebody asks me a question and I don't have to study on the answer because they give it to me immediately. Don't you love that? Yeah. We don't want to think too hard, do we? So that's what the Bible does here. He gives us the question, but then he answers the questions. And these are the questions that we have, and we know what questions we have in life. So here's the questions I'm going to pull out of the scriptures that I read before verse 17. Who we should love. And since I read this, you're going to have the answers. I don't even have to tell you, but I will anyway, okay? Okay. Who we should love. Who should we love? Who we should love. You can say that either way. Who is it? One another. Why? Well, here's what the Bible says. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now that's a pretty good answer to that question. Why should we love one another? And the reason is because God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if you love the brothers and sisters in Christ, you know that you have the Spirit of God in you. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you got a spiritual problem. Amen? We do. And if we have a problem loving, and I'm not talking about picking out who you love. Go ahead, look around. You see anybody that you don't really love? I don't think you probably will find anybody in here, but if there was a person that you had that had done something to you or said something about you or whatever, and you have not clarified that yet, you better look at them and say, you know what, I love you. And not with, and I'm not talking about putting on. God never told us to put on when we let our brothers and sisters know we love them. But if you've got an issue with a person that you can't honestly say I love you, you better get over that and get with it, because he's not dividing us up here. Not at all. Okay? And I know you've heard that all your life. We're supposed to love everybody. I know I'm right because I love everybody. Well, we'll see. Okay, why we should love. I'm not talking about the question I just asked before, why we should love one another. This is a whole different question. why we should love. Love. Because he that loveth not knoweth not who?
God.
Now see, that's a different take on it, isn't it? If you don't love, then you don't know God. Wow. How big is that? Now keep on going, because we got a ways to go before we get to 17, okay? What was expected from us to be loved? What was expected from me so that God would love me? You know the answer. Absolutely nothing. Because he says, here's the word for it. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, to be the sacrifice for your sins, the atoning sacrifice for your sins. That's what you had to do to be loved. Nothing. Absolute nothing. Because he gave that same love to everybody, the whole world over. There's no color, creed, or denomination, country, nothing. Everybody, the whole world over. We cannot make distinctions between people that we're to love. Should love be duplicated by us? And if you say yes, you got to answer that up with the word. So I'm going to give you the word. See, all of it's right here in the scripture I just read. Should love be duplicated by us? And the answer is, beloved, if God so loved us, now it doesn't mean did he or did he not. He did. And so that takes that question part away. But if God so loved us, we ought also, big word, also, to love one another. You say, well, this sounds like a lesson in love. Sure is. And it's given to us right from the very throne of God. Okay, then now we're down to this question that I put at the end because I wanted to make a statement. And this question will make a statement because we all want to know this also. If all of this is true, and it is, then how can this work? How can this work that I would love everyone in here? Raise your hand if you want me to love you. I'm looking for hands, Alexis. You better raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'm cutting you off, Dorothy. You think I don't see hands? I see hands and I see what's not hands. And I know who's hanging on them. Well, ask me. Come on, somebody. Do you love me? I'll raise my hand. Yeah. Because that's where we are. Do you think that God didn't understand what love would do to the human race? And I'm not just talking about picking the love. Can you imagine? Because he is. That's what he is. It plainly states God is love. Don't you know that he knows what is important for this world, for us to get along? People who are fighting don't love each other. People who are killing each other don't love each other. You going to kill the person you love? I don't think so, unless you go off and go batty. That's a possibility. But no, you're not, because God knows how important this is. Well, how are we going to make this work? Well, here's how it works. God sent his son into the world that we might live through him. That's how it works. You say, I can't love that person. Oh, yes, you can. Because you can allow his love to live through you. That's how you do it. You can't on your own. But you see, if we want it to work, it's got to work this way. That God sent his son into the world that we might live through him. So the next time you say, I can't, say, well, then I need to live this one through him because I need to love this person. It's important that I do. And here was that other little tidbit before we get into verse 17. To confess that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, that's just another way of telling that God loves us. Now, let me break that down just a little bit and make it a little more simple. Next time you tell somebody that God sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of the world, you're telling them that. Why are you telling them that? If you're not telling them that so that they can understand that God loves us, that's the reason he sent his Son, so that God loves us. And when you tell that story of how that he sent his Son to die so that we might have salvation, that's just another way of telling people that God loves us, all of us. Me, you, everybody. Nobody's exempt from that. Now let's go to verse 17, because now we have set the scene here for verse 17 for us to get some good tidbits on how it is for us to love. As he is, so are we in this world. Regarding the great white throne, because we're talking about boldness right before he made the statement, he said, and I want to read it because I want you to get it plain right here. He said, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And that's the part you probably won't understand. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now think for just one moment about the day of boldness. Or the day of judgment. The day of judgment. Does the day of judgment scare you? Now I have to ask you that, because we got too many people who say I'm saved and they're scared. Does the day of judgment scare you? The answer, if you're a saved person, should be absolutely not. Absolutely not. But if you're not saved, the day of judgment should scare you to death. Because, folks, it's not going to be good for the lost. And I tell you that because I just mentioned regarding the great white throne judgment. You see, the great white throne judgment is for the lost. It's so that the lost can be judged as to the deeds done in the body. You died here in this old earth and you went into eternity without God. And one day you'll stand before the great white throne judgment, and there won't be a single person that will be bold there. In fact, the Bible, do you think God doesn't know that? You may act bold. And I've had some in my days who want to act bold and say, well, if that's where I'm going to hell, then I'm going to hell. I don't care. I'll just have a ball when I get there. Stupid. How dumb is that? That they would make a statement like that. God knows they're not truthful, because he already sees them there. If that's where they're going, he already sees them there, and he sees that there is no boldness. They're not making those statements there. They're not. There won't be any of those statements being made there. Actually, what the Bible says they will do, they will cry out to the rocks and the hills to hide them, to cover them, to kill them, to get them out of this mess so that they don't have to face the wrath of God, or to put it better so that we understand it, the wrath of the Lamb of God. And then there's a word I love, and it's but. Yeah, but at the judgment seat of Christ. Woo! At the judgment seat of Christ, where all of believers will be, you can stand there just as bold as you possibly can. That's what he just said right here. He said that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So when you stand before God, you're not going to say, "Whoa, no, I can't do this." Oh, yes, you can. You've been given the right. He has invited you in. You are an invited guest. You're not breaking up the party. Okay? He's invited you in to stand right before his throne, the throne of God, and you're standing there at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're standing there with boldness. I had to do this and get you out of 1 John just for a second and take you back to 2 Timothy, and you're very familiar with this scripture, but I got to read it to you. Look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and look at verse 6, and here I'm going to read just a couple verses. Here's a man who was going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ just as bold as any man could ever stand, because he did it right before he left. Don't you like to hear those words that a born-again child of God spoke right before they left this old earth? They knew everything was okay, and they were ready to go? Well, that's what this man said when he said, "For I am now ready." We used to play that game, "Ready or not, here I come." That's hide and seek, I guess. "Ready or not, here I come." Well, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered." How you like that? I'm ready now to be offered. You can do what you want to with me. I'm ready to be offered. "And the time of my departure is at hand." Y'all know what was happening to him here. He was being killed. Knew he was. Knew that he had a very short time to breathe and live. And I just wonder if we came to this point where it's a very short time and we had to live, would we make a positive statement because we're going into this thing boldly? Well, he said, "I have fought a good fight." Here's the reasons why he could, Vernon. Listen now. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," your ears are perking, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What day is that? Oh, that's that day of judgment he's talking about. At the judgment seat of Christ, folks, he's going to give out the valuable stuff for you. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only." And I'm looking back at you. And I hope you're looking up here, and you know that when I stand before God, I'm going to stand before him saved, saved, saved. Absolutely. Every promise he ever made me, I'm going to see it. And I'm going to stand there boldly because I know that he invited me into this, and that's where I am. "At that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Who would you be looking for to come more than the person you loved? And I'm going to tell you, the person who loved you. I am so glad that he loved me and he gave me the possibility of loving other people. I am so glad for that, and he did that. And I'm not going to be standing at the great white throne judgment. I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to be receiving boldly whatever he has for me there. Now the phrase, the three words at a time, small words, so we can soak them up, okay? Going to take the first three first. Do you see them there in your Bible? You still got it open? Here's what he says. "As he is." Now don't go into the rest of it because we're taking it three at a time. If you do that, you've got to put a line right after the word "is." "As he is." Now, "as he was." No, wait, that's not it. "As he was." You see, if you go by as he was, then you go back to where he was the miracle worker. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out spirits. And that's usually where we go, you know, with that, because we want to remember all the things he was. He hasn't changed. But the as he was has changed to the as he is. And that's a big difference. Yeah. Because you see, he is means that all those things he did and all we see are the scars of what he did. We're not standing at Calvary today. We're not standing there looking at him hanging there on that old rugged cross. I know that we go there sometimes in our minds and we're reminded that he hung on that old cross and shed his blood and went through the pain and suffering that he did for us. But now we see the scars that are left. Now we've got to be a part of the scars, folks. We do. And you know what? If I love you, I'll be willing to take a few scars for you. I'll be willing to share the scars with you if I love you. And that's where we are here. You see, he's got the battle scars all over him. He conquered the cross. He conquered the tomb. He is that one who went through all of those things. But as he is, the scars remain. We got to see those because that's how we associate with him, are the scars. He is, and here are some of the truths in this verse of Scripture here. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the infinite one. He is the incarnate one. But the one we pass over more than anything is he is also man. Now this is the golden nugget. Did I ever mention a golden nugget to y'all? I don't have one in my pocket, but I'm going to give you one that will not tarnish ever. It is the finest gold ever. Here's your gold nugget. He is also man. What does that mean to you? Because you see, as God intended man to be, Jesus became man because that's what God intended man to be. And here is what he intended. Crowned, because this was Jesus. Jesus was crowned with glory and honor. Remember? God crowned, his Father crowned him with glory and honor. Do you not believe that he wanted you that way also? He crowned you with glory and honor. You are an individual. This world can't see it. But you are. You are crowned with glory and honor because God wanted you to be as he is, as Jesus is. And he is crowned with glory and honor. I just wonder sometimes if we don't disgrace the crown in our humanity. But I'm not going there. We handle that, don't we? Each individual handles that. And so we do handle that. But he says that Jesus was crowned with glory and honor, and that's what he made us for. He made us to be as he is. Now, he went on to say, as he is, so are we. Now, he didn't say, I want you to make yourself that way. I grew up in a church where I thought, because of the way the word was preached and taught, I thought that I was supposed to do so many things like Jesus would do them. And it was a big pressure on me. Do y'all remember the pressure that was put on you to be exactly like Jesus? And you did all these good things. Good. You were so good. I can just look back and see most of you in those days. Boy, you were looking good. You were doing all those good things to be more like Jesus. That's not what this is all about at all. We are. I'm going to let that soak in. We are. That's what he says. He says, as he is, so are we. He didn't say, make yourself to be that way. He said, so are we. That's a promise. You have a promise that you're going to be like Jesus. God takes care of all this. I am so glad that he takes care of all of it because I couldn't handle it. Could you handle it? No, sirree. But aren't we thankful that he made us this way? You see, that's the difference. Nobody can change that. You are as he is. If you're a born-again child of God, you are as he is. That's what he said. So he pledged that to me. He promised that to me. In this plan of salvation, we are to be like Jesus. But he took care of that. We've been crowned with glory and honor. We are like he is. God now indwells us by his Holy Spirit. He gave his life for us. Now he gives his life to us. That's a difference, isn't it? At Calvary, he gave his life for us. Every day of your life, he gives his life to you. He says, live through me. Here's my life. Live through me. And we have that possibility. He sat down in heaven. Remember that? At the right hand of God the Father. Well, had you forgotten that the scripture also says that we are seated together with him? We are seated together with him. Am I putting you in a really good spot here today according to the word of God? You better believe I am. So we're going to go out from here today living like these people who are crowned with glory and honor, right? We're going to go out of here knowing that as he is, so are we. Because we're not talking about in another world. Most folks want to say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll be just like him. That'd be good, you know, to get to heaven, wouldn't it? It's going to be great. But we don't have to wait to get to heaven to know that we're like him. Because as he is, so are we. And not in heaven, that we will there, but not just in heaven, in this world. In this world that has so much filth and so much sin and so much disgusting things that are just fill this whole world up. In this world, as he is, so are we. We ought to be the light on the hill. We ought to be. We ought to be the sweetest sound in music ever for this old world. Because his children, the brothers and sisters in Christ, are all that this old world has to give it any kind of light of hope at all. At all. Because it's the love of God in this world. God sees us then and there, but he also sees us now. And he sees us through his son, Jesus Christ. So when he looks at me here and now, he says, there he is with his crown of glory and honor. I made him as my son. As he is, so are we in this world. Because that's exactly how God sees us through his son. As the Holy Spirit indwells us, he sees us that way. We are to be like Jesus. We are. So the only way that we can do that is to allow the fruits of the Spirit to show in our life. Now, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? It's what? You're kidding me. You're not kidding me. The first fruit of the Spirit. By the way, none of the other fruits would be possible if it wasn't for love. Hey, like that? Did God know what he was doing when he gave us his word? He knew exactly what he was doing. So as he is, so are we in this world. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, until he takes us out. Then we'll go to heaven and see the rest of the story. Won't you be glad to see the rest of the story? Oh, it's going to be good. Let's bow our heads and ask God to take this word and saturate us with it so that we leave here today knowing that this is not just a statement that Christians make to sound good. This is a truth. This is the truth of the Word of God. As He is, so are we in this world. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the promise. We thank You for the pledge You made to us that we're like Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for making us that way. And Lord, for the times where we don't appear to be that way, we know that according to You, we still are. And we thank You, God, for everything You've done for us and everything You're going to do, because we love You. And we know it's not that we love, but because You first loved us. Thank You for that. Now, if there's anyone here today who does not know Your Son, Jesus Christ, the one that You want us to love everybody through, God, I pray that today will be the day they say, you know what, my soul's not saved, my life's not right. I want my life to be right. I want to love like God wants me to love. I want to go to heaven loving. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who needs to make a decision, that they'll make it here as we sing this verse of song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's the number, Tom? 113. Page 113, if you'd like to turn in that book and let's sing one verse. We're only going to sing one verse today, okay? If God has touched your heart and you want to know more about this love that He's got for us, then make that decision. Walk out and give your life to the Lord. That's a good place. Oh, yeah. Glory to His name. Sing it. Afraid to say glory to His name. Go down the street saying glory to His name. And somebody asks you, what in the world are you talking about? Tell them that He loved you so that you could love them. And He sent His Son to die so that we would be told one more time how much He loves us. I was going to tell every one of you that I love you, but I'm not going to. I'll just let you think it. Okay? Now remember this evening, spend time with your family. Tell them you love them. I know we do that a lot, and we should. That's not where we were in this, except that love is love. There are different types of love. But tell your family you love them. And I would say this as not having my dad and mom anymore to tell them. If you've still got your dad and mom, tell them you love them. If you've got children still in your household, tell them you love them. If they're not still in your household and you are going to spend time with them today, tell them you love them. Okay? It's important. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Don't forget Wednesday night and this next week. Don't forget the second week in September.